We are so excited to announce that the second edition of Tamina Watson's book, The Startup Visa, Key to Job Growth and Economic Prosperity in America, is now out for order. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever you get your books. You can do so by searching The Startup Visa Book or by finding Tamina Watson's author page on Amazon or online. That is spelled T-A-H-M-I-N-A-W-A-T-S-O-N. Thank you so much for your support and for tuning into this episode.
Be sure to tune into Immigration with Tamina Watson this and every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Immigration attorney Tamina Watson founded Watson Immigration Law here in Seattle and is a frequent speaker, author, and blogger who has appeared in Forbes, CNN, The Seattle Times, and much, much more. On her new radio show, Tamina will take all your questions live on air. Plus, she will discuss and provide insight into the latest immigration news and issues, as well as talk with notable personalities who have impacted U.S. immigration law or are notable immigrants themselves. Check out her new show, Tuesdays at 10 a.m., Immigration with Tamina Watson on Desi 1250 a.m., radio that listens to you.
Good morning, Seattle. This is Tamina Watson on Immigration with Tamina on Desi 1250 a.m. I'm so glad that today is Election Day, and it's such an exciting morning. The sun is out, the excitement is in the air, and we have two amazing guests in the studio today. If you've tuned in from the radio station, please also tell your friends and family that we're on live on Facebook, so at the Watson Immigration Law Facebook page. And you'll be able to see us. Hi. We have two amazing guests, Joel Padgett, my friend and mentor. I take all my complicated questions to him. And my friend, Rich Stoltz, who's the executive director of One America, who's been fighting for immigration reform for many, many years. Before I introduce you to them properly, I'm going to have a couple of little things to tell you. So a reminder that this show is repeated on Friday at 8 p.m. The new time is 8 p.m. So if you somehow miss the show today or friends and family miss it, please make sure you tell them Friday, 8 p.m. is your day. But also the show is repeated, saved on SoundCloud at the Tamina Watson profile page. And today is also a very special day, not only because of Election Day, it's my 50th show on air. Yeah. So that's a really, really big deal. We've reached a milestone, and I cannot be prouder to share the day with my friend Joel and Rich, and with Hillary Clinton, hopefully. We'll see. So, Election Day, have you voted? If you are a new citizen, we would love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments, we would love to hear from you. If you have any thoughts, we would love to hear from you. The number for the studio is 844-301-1250. That's 844-301-1250. We are going to have a wonderful discussion in a moment, but we would love to hear from you if you get a chance to call us. So before we start our riveting discussion, I want to introduce you to my two wonderful guests. Joel Padgett is an immigration lawyer and senior member of the immigration group at Ryan, Swanson & Cleveland in Seattle. He has over 30 years' experience in all aspects of immigration law, with an emphasis on business and tax issues, and he lectures and writes frequently on these topics. He is an emeritus trustee of Seattle Pacific University and served for 28 years as director and secretary of the Seattle Pacific Foundation. For many years, he's been listed in the best lawyers in America and has been selected by the publication as a super lawyer each year since the inception of the award. Very honored to have you here, Joel.
Thank you.
Rich Stoltz is the executive director of One America, Washington State's largest immigrant rights advocacy organization, and I must say one of the most notable ones in America as a nation. Rich brings more than 15 years of experience at the intersection of policy, politics, and organizing across a broad spectrum of issues impacting low-income and minority communities, including jobs and income support policy, immigration policy, infrastructure investment, and environmental justice. At the Center for Community Change, he coordinated the Fair Immigration Reform Movement, a national coalition of immigrant rights organizations responsible for some of the largest mobilizations and protests in American history in the work to achieve comprehensive immigration reform. Among other accomplishments, Rich also helped to found and staff the Transportation Equity Network, a multi-ethnic organizing strategy focused on the impact of transportation policy on job access, community development, and environmental justice. Well, welcome, Joel and Rich. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, we have a lot to talk about and not a lot of time, so we're going to dive into these questions. So you are both immigration experts and leaders in the field of immigration, where you see firsthand the impact of immigration law on people's lives. Immigration has been a central theme throughout the presidential election. There are those who love the idea of a wall and those who want to build bridges. Why is this presidential election so important for immigration, both domestically and internationally? Maybe, Rich, you can answer domestically.
Sure. From my perspective, in the broadest sense, immigration has been the front and center issue in this election, triggered by Trump's initial comments with regard to Mexican migrants. At this point in time, whoever wins this election will have a significant role in deciding what happens next in Congress, within the Department of Homeland Security administratively, and that'll have significant consequences on who can come to this country, how are people treated once they're here, and the other side to this is something that we are very concerned about. The nature of the rhetoric has been such that it has inflamed passions in a very negative way in a lot of communities. We've seen an increase in hate crimes against immigrant groups, whether they're Mexican immigrants or South Asian immigrants or Muslim immigrants. And I think there's a deeper question about the character of this country going forward, given who the next president may be.
Wonderful. I mean, I think that's very, very true. I'm going to take this question on the international front to you, Joel. What do you think the immigration policies will mean for an international perspective?
Well, I think the world is looking to us as to how we are going to treat our people and people coming in. I think the tone that Donald Trump sets as far as immigrants, refugees, especially coming from the Middle East and from other countries that may have a Muslim base is significant. But again, I think the emphasis I wanted to make for today's program is that despite what Donald Trump and maybe even Hillary feel, they are not czars. They're not the CEO of the United States. And the world needs to understand that too. Our system is bifurcated. I mean, we do have a Congress, we do have a House, we do have a Senate. And as I was mentioning, I think the latest predictions I saw last night is that maybe the Senate is split 50-50. The House, I think, still will remain Republican. And I can get into some of the reasons why I think that's going to be so. But that means that they're going to have to be dealing with a Congress. And so it's more of a tone in what they're going to do. I mean, President Obama has been, I think, deporting probably about 400,000 plus people. But I think you'll see the end of DACA. I mean, there won't be that executive relief that Obama has given. So the tone will change, although I don't see a lot of laws necessarily getting done here, and we can get into that, why that reason may be.
That's a good point. I'm going to take you to one of our questions about, do local elections matter for immigration reform? You mentioned Senate and House. Why are local elections important?
Well, that's exactly true. And this is one of the problems we have is that I don't think this is going to be a blowout election. Like, I'm old enough to remember Johnson versus Goldwater, 65%, 35%. And the House, as you say, the local elections at that point were impacted down the ballot. And so the House and the Senate were all Democratic at that point. And so you had much more flexibility to get something done. In this one, I don't think you're going to see that. I think that there's enough safe districts that we're still going to have a divided House and maybe a split Senate. And like in the state of Washington here, I'll pick our congressional people, I think, get comprehensive immigration reform. We have talked to them enough. They know what the issues are. None of them want to take a stand on that. They're kind of waiting to see what happens. And I was going to mention Rubio You know, out of Florida, Marcus, you know, he was on Senate Bill 744 here a couple of years ago. He took a lot of heat for that. I don't know if he's going to win his election. I think he will. But no Republican is going to necessarily step up, I think, soon and want to be involved in immigration reform. So even if Hillary wins, she's going to need a lot of Democrats to be in favor of immigration reform and be able to sway that. I don't think she's going to have that in the House.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rich, why do you think local elections matter for immigration reform?
Well, they're critical. I mean, Joel's right. The president can only do so much legislatively. It's actually the Senate and the House that passes bills that the president then signs. So first question is, you know, how tight will the Democratic majority, if there is one, be in the Senate? If it's large enough, that gives Senator or President Clinton, you know, the opportunity to actually pass legislation in the Senate. But that completely depends on the makeup of the Senate. And in the House of Representatives, what we see is, you know, a lot of tension within the Republican caucus on issues like immigration. And I think the big question will be, will Speaker Ryan, assuming he's still the Speaker, will he make immigration reform a priority? And it's not clear that the dynamics in the House of Representatives will change enough after the election unless there is some sort of a major sweeping election happening today. And it's not clear that that will be the case.
Are you suggesting that we may see what happened to S-744 if Speaker Ryan doesn't prioritize immigration reform?
I think that's the danger. If there is a Democratic-controlled Senate and a Republican-controlled House, in the end, the power rests with Speaker Ryan about whether or not we'll actually move forward on an immigration bill. At that point in time, we will need Republicans to actually lead on this issue, and it's not clear that, for example, the Republicans that represent Washington State, even though they all say that they support immigration reform in one form or another, will they actually expend their political capital in Congress? And it's going to take a lot of pressure to make them do so.
Do you think listeners have any way to influence their representatives?
Absolutely.
What would they do?
First, they can vote today. wherever they are in the state, voting will be significant. And, you know, representatives really do pay attention to that. They're all up for office again in 2 years. Second is be informed, follow the news, and call, meet with, share your stories with our congressional representatives so that, and be very clear that, like, we need them to lead, not just follow the political winds in the House of Representatives.
Very interesting.
I was going to say that's going to be very, I agree with all what Rich is saying, but I think it's difficult for them to take that lead. And so it's the other states that really need to have representatives there that are backing what we need. But I think it is going to be difficult, but those stories got to be told. So
is there anything that we can do as the public in Washington State to help those representatives in other states? How do we make it happen?
Well, I think everybody's got family and friends in other states, and money. I always say to the immigration bar, especially, money helps. They are running every 2 years, like Rich says. They constantly need financing, and I hate to say it, but you know, the money does talk, and if you can get, you know, you can give money to people outside the state of Washington that are running that are good candidates. So find those good candidates. They're supporting immigration reform. Open up your pocketbook.
Very good, very good. Well, the polls show that it's very likely that Hillary Clinton may win. And so I want to take two scenarios very briefly. Because the polls are so close, it's not over until it's over. If we do see a Trump presidency, what does it mean for immigration reform?
I think the quickest answer to that is we're probably on the defense on immigration policy more broadly, you know, with regard to, you know, potential Muslim bans or whatever else that a President Trump may try to pursue. He's talked a lot about the wall. I think they're you know, are significant questions as to how that'll actually be, if it's only symbolic, but how does that shape the rest of his policy with regard to immigration? I think we do see a backwards movement, at least from our perspective, on a number of administrative elements in the law. And so it's possible he could do a lot of damage deliberately or inadvertently around a whole range of different visa categories, particularly if he does go as far as he says he does, buying into this notion that immigrants are competing with native-born workers for jobs.
Mm-hmm. And so if we, because, and we can talk about that for a long time, but we, you know, we're short on time. If we have a Hillary presidency, what does it mean for immigration reform, Joel?
I like the one on, well, Hillary, if she says one of her top 10 priorities within her 100 things within 100 days is immigration reform, I think she is more, obviously more open to immigration in the United States. But what can she get done? That I just think that it's unfortunately going to be, again, an attitude and a setting of a tone and follow through. I mean, the ministry of things that Obama's put into place, I don't think she's going to disturb, and that maybe broaden those. But there's only so much she can do, and she needs Congress to do that. I think Donald's going to spend most of his time building the wall, frankly. Which you got 1,000 miles there, and he's promised to build it, and he's going to be focused on that. On the business side, I'd hope he would see that H-1Bs actually are better than he really thinks, and some of these visa categories he can work with, EB-5s, those kind of things. But he's a business guy, so he's going to build the wall first.
Well, let's hope we don't have him as a president, but we'll see what happens. So immigration reform has been something that you have both tirelessly worked over on for the last decade or so. What does the immigrant community mean to this election?
I think the immigrant community broadly will be a pivotal factor in how this election winds up being concluded. I mean, seriously, we're already seeing significant early voting among Latino, Asian American, and other voters in a number of these key swing states, whether it's Florida, even Arizona. Some states are now competitive, like Arizona, that nobody thought would be competitive this cycle. So it's my sense that if, and it looks like they are, immigrant voters and their families are turning out in significant numbers, they could very well make the difference in terms of who's president, who controls the Senate, and maybe who controls the House.
Joel, any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it has had a major impact, as Rich was saying, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Nevada, all the Southwest states that generally that were not touching water. I always say anything that touches water is blue, but some of those red states have made it very competitive now. So that is the Republican Party, for the most part, aside from the presidential politics, has seen that, but have not necessarily reacted to it as much as they could. But I think they certainly understand the dynamics of what's coming.
You know, The New American Economy had published reports earlier in the year in about August, and they did a state-by-state report. And in the report for Washington, it said that we have about 242,000 foreign-born Washingtonians registered to vote. And based on participation patterns in recent years, the report expects about 189,000 foreign-born voters to cast their ballots this year. You know, that's a huge deal, and One America has obviously been playing a big role in providing help to people who cannot afford fees and legal help. Tell us a little bit about the efforts that One America has made to help have new voters and new citizens.
Well, sure. I mean, for us, it begins with organizing, but then we also run a large citizenship program, and so we're working to make sure that legal permanent residents have the opportunity to naturalize and become citizens. From our perspective, that's a way of growing the immigrant vote. And then once you're naturalized, we make sure you have the information you need to register to vote. Here in Washington State, while there are limited things that state governments can do on issues of immigration, there is a lot that states can do with regard to the quality of life of immigrants once they're here, irrespective of their status. For example, we through the Apple Kids program, we do provide health care benefits to undocumented children and the children of undocumented parents. So that's one example. Wages are a significant issue. There is a minimum wage measure on the ballot. So there are a number of broader issues that impact immigrant families and communities throughout Washington State that are on the ballot. And, I mean, that is a focus for us as well. From our perspective, we need to grow the electorate and make sure people have the information they need to empower themselves and shape the future of this state as well as this country.
Wonderful. Yeah, I agree with you. Joel, same question to you. You have seen immigration laws change throughout, you know, a couple of decades, 3 decades maybe. How would you say that these have impacted people applying for citizenship, perhaps?
Oof, big question. Well, I think that we have been despite reform. I mean, I've seen ups and downs. I mean, in 96, you see some terrible laws come along, you know, like your 3-year bars and 10-year bars and that. But I think we've at least become more cognizant, more knowledgeable about immigration, and it's been out more in the public in that sense too. So I think we've worked with it more. It's just that we haven't accomplished what we want as far as total reform. But I think we at least are engaged in talking about it. And I know in the early years it was basically a black box. I mean, most people did not understand immigration, didn't even talk about it, and there was a lot of discrimination. I still remember the Iranians when the Iranian war was. I mean, they basically, the students that were here and the people who were here were discriminated against, and there wasn't a lot of talk about that. I think these kind of, like your radio program, but other, a lot of communities are talking about it. And so that's, to me, that's healthy. So we're making progress in the conversation. We may not be getting the laws that we necessarily want, but at least we're talking about it, and I think that's good.
You know, we don't have much time left, okay. About 4 minutes. I want to ask you very quickly, I didn't give this question to you in advance, but if there were top 3 things to reform that you would be able to sell our next president, what would those top 3 things be for you?
On reform.
On reform.
Well, I'm on the business side of things, so I'm going to let maybe Rich talk on the other side. But, Senate Bill 744 to me was, even though it had a lot of things that you didn't necessarily like, it had a lot in there that you did. And so I think that, to me, would be a starting point. Say, go take a look at that. That had cross-aisle support. You know, I just think that solved, you know, a lot of the issues you're looking at. So I'd say just... not 4, but there's a lot of things that need to get done. Mm-hmm. And more visas. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that's a very unpopular thing, but mm-hmm. I was just back at the National Visa Center, and there's, you know, 2 million files just sitting there. We just need more visas, period.
Rich, same question to you. We don't have much time.
Yep. Sure, just in a broad sense, we would like to see a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. We would like to see the reunification of families, and we'd like to see the restoration of due process in the immigration process.
Wonderful. Top 3 things. Well, listeners, this was an amazing panel of Joel Padgett and Rich Stolz. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank
Very
you so
grateful.
Much.
If you had one thing to tell our listeners today, what would that be?
Go vote.
Rich?
Vote. Today is the day.
Today's the day. Well, listeners, it's been an amazing show today. We only have a couple of minutes left. I want to emphasize that... your vote, your voice is very, very important. And if you have not cast your vote yet today, you have until 8 p.m. Is that right, Rich? 8 p.m. And there are ballot boxes throughout the state and county. You need to go on a website. I forget what the website is, but if you Google it, it will come up. And you can find your ballot box where you can drop it by 8 p.m. But make sure your vote gets cast. And make sure you vote. Don't write in somebody's name, because that's wasting your vote. But not only is at stake the presidential seat for the White House, but a lot of our local seats are up for election. And these are very, very important seats that will make a difference to what happens in our state, in your lives, in your children's lives. So make sure you take a moment to understand those, but also the initiatives that there are on the ballot. There is a lot to do and understand. Make sure you take the time and understand and cast your vote. Listeners, we are approaching our final few moments here. We hope you have enjoyed this show. And I want to give a big shout out to my Uber driver today, Ryan, who was very cheery, and we had a wonderful discussion about the election this morning. And if you have any questions, comments, please make sure you let us know. You know, Desi 1250 has started a new campaign throughout throughout King County in various places with ads in the of Desi 1250, and my show card is on it. I hope you'll call in and let us know that you've seen those, and we want to make sure that we are providing the shows that you want to hear. So make sure you email us at contact@desi1250am. Listeners, it's a wonderful day today to speak to you about election. It's our 50th show. I would want to see you next week here, bright and early at 10 o'clock. And for now, I'll say goodbye. Thank you so much.